From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Public testimony in the President Trump impeachment hearings will resume tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. here in the West. You can hear it here on Cap Radio. Jennifer Williams, an aide to Vice President Mike Pence, and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, Director for European Affairs at the National Security Council, will start the day. Meanwhile, over the weekend, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested the president himself should testify. He responded in a tweet, as you've been hearing today on NPR. Let's start there with Kate Irby, McClatchy's California congressional reporter. Hi, Kate. Glad to have you back on the show.
Always happy to be here.
So explain to me whether Nancy Pelosi can call a witness or call for a subpoena for a witness. What's her real role here?
So that would really fall under Chairman Adam Schiff's duties. So if they wanted to issue a formal subpoena, they would do that. I would assume that they would be open to doing that. We even had people talking in the last committee hearing about having Trump come to testify. But, of course, the issue is, even though he's saying he's strongly considering it, that's probably unlikely to happen. We heard the other, we heard that same kind of line with the Mueller inquiry, and it came down to eventually him just submitting written responses, and I don't even know if that would happen in this case.
That is the phrase he used in his tweet that he is strongly considering. So we'll leave that storyline out there for a while. Meanwhile, I want to note that Adam Schiff was at the California Democratic Convention. He called the president a charlatan in the White House. Also, a few days ago, we had Devin Nunes giving opinions that many people might have in his opening statement, heard for the first time, unless they listen to Fox News. So Californians continued over the weekend and over the last couple days, really, to make themselves heard.
Yeah, so as I wrote for McClatchy on the day of the first impeachment hearings, Devin Nunes has really been being the mouthpiece for the Republican defense, him along with Jim Jordan. And he's basically been saying that, you know, this actually comes back to election interference in 2016 that started in Ukraine, that is the source of where election interference really happened. The issue is he doesn't have a lot of evidence to back that up. He has a lot of speculation, but no public evidence that we've seen at this time. And then, of course, I think everyone's pretty well aware of Representative Schiff and Democrats' lines that, you know, this was inappropriate action by the president trying to pressure a foreign government using taxpayer-funded aid to investigate his political opponent. So really opposite sides of the spectrum within the same state. There's a lot of big California players on this, as we know.
Just to spend a moment there, the article that you referenced, Kate, was titled Decoding Devin Nunes' Opening Statement at the Impeachment Hearing. And part of what you write about is his suggestion that the Democrats have a coordinated campaign with the whistleblower to throw Trump out of office. And he went down into the weeds in some detail on why he thinks that's so. Have you had time to talk one-on-one with him?
I have not. Actually, if you're not aware, Representative Nunes only talks to Fox News and typically more conservative outlets. So all of my efforts to talk to Representative Nunes are usually ignored. So no, I have not had a chance to talk to him personally. But obviously this is a theory that has played out within Republicans that Schiff's staff coordinated with the whistleblower, helped author this. And while we do know that the whistleblower reached out to Schiff's staff only said that they directed them to go through the proper channels, which was filing this whistleblower complaint, not that they actually had any part in drafting that complaint. And we have no evidence to the contrary of that.
What's the atmosphere there, Kate, after the past 2 days of hearings and now going into the next three this week? And I guess you could characterize that within the Beltway and then outside of the Beltway. So go at it whichever way you want to.
Sure. So, I mean, in the Beltway, I obviously have more knowledge on, but it's really entrenched. You have people who are already in their parties who seem to have already made up their mind a long time ago that this either was an impeachable offense or this is not an impeachable offense. And Democrats obviously are still making their case, but it really doesn't seem like they're convincing any Republicans to actually come over to their side. You have representatives like Elise Stefanik, William Hurd, who are seen as more moderate members of the Republican Party, and even they are on the Intelligence Committee, are going after these witnesses, clearly adhering to the messaging that Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes have especially employed. So I wouldn't expect it to really change. We'll see if these public hearings sway people either way, but keep in mind that the people on these committees have already had a chance to hear from most of these people in private. So,
well, it will make a difference perhaps to the public who heard the criticism last week of the witnesses being one step or two steps removed from direct knowledge or direct ability to hear what might have been involved in that call. And that will begin with Jennifer Williams if she's the first to testify tomorrow.
So both Jennifer Williams and Alexander Vindman, who are testifying tomorrow, were on this call. As you just said, they have direct knowledge. So the call that President Trump keeps saying, everybody look at the transcript, look at the transcript, which we know is not an exact transcript of that phone call. These are people who were actually on the phone call who have said that they found the language concerning, and that Vindman specifically said in his private testimony that he felt that there were more references to the Bidens and Burisma that were not included on that transcript that he pushed to have included and was rebuffed. So,
can I jump ahead for a moment? Because there is talk about a Senate trial in January. Have you played out how that schedule might go and what might happen between now and the end of the year? Is this all just very broad speculation at this point?
Sort of. It's you know, it's what the rumor is around the Hill, and sometimes those tend to be accurate and sometimes they don't.
Okay.
So what we're hearing is that it is the goal to try to have the House done before Christmas, before the new year, on their impeachment. Obviously, we know this week is going to be incredibly crazy on impeachment, but we don't know about any further public hearings after this week. We'll see if that happens. And a vote expected maybe, hopefully, in Democrats' opinion, sometime in December. And then the Senate would take it up in January. And we don't know how long that process would last, so we'll have to wait and see on that one as well.
There are senators running for president, including one of them from California, Kate. So what happens?
A lot of them.
Yeah, are they pulled from the campaign trail? I think it's, what, 7 or 8 of them?
Yeah, so they would obviously, they're considered jurors in this case, so they would be needing to sit in on whereas this evidence is presented to them, and assumedly they would not be able to campaign during those times, which, knowing Mitch McConnell, he's a very shrewd person who really takes strategy on these types of things pretty seriously. I'm sure that's something that he is considering.
All right. So what word are we going to use here? Politics, gamesmanship, chess game?
All of the above.
All of the above. All right. There is another Democratic presidential debate this week. And overall, the field for the race has grown by one, possibly two. How has the debate shifted in its prominence and national attention because of the hearings?
I'm not sure how much the impeachment hearings have affected it. I think that people have started losing a little bit of interest in the debates just because it's a difficult it's a difficult setup. When you have this many people on a stage, it's hard to get into something substantive. So, you know, people started out probably watching the debates a little bit more because they were trying to get a sense of which candidate they wanted to vote for. In Republicans' case, candidates they really didn't want coming in. And now I think that's cooled off a little bit. I think people are a little bit more eager to see that field get narrowed, but I'm not sure how impeachment will affect that particularly.
Kate, I'm going to shift gears for a moment to another topic that you've written about, which is PG&E and the wildfires, because many California customers could be in for another one of those public safety power shutoffs this week. As many as 250,000 customers were told. You might know that PG&E's CEO Bill Johnson is testifying today at the state capitol in California. And you've been writing about the call by Congressman Josh Harder for PG&E to answer on Capitol Hill for what's been happening.
Right. So part of the issue for PG&E here is obviously they are becoming a really widely disliked entity right now because of these shutoffs and the wildfires in the past. And Congress picks up on that. So you have congressmen who it grabs their attention when these types of things are happening, and both because they want oversight and because they know it's something their constituents want, they then start increasing pressure. So Harder has been calling for PG&E to testify. He's also called for, he's currently finalizing a bill that Senator Harris has done something similar, where they want to put penalties, financial penalties, on PG&E for trying to give executives bonuses while they're doing these shutoffs. And there, I would expect this pressure on PG&E to keep increasing from Congress as they keep deepening their unpopularity.
All right. But there are no set plans yet for...
No set plans
okay.
yet. No.
All right, Kate. Thanks again. We'll post a link to some of your recent articles. I'll add that the House is going to vote next week to keep the government running through December 20th. So we will continue to have these conversations. Okay.
Always a pleasure, Beth.
All right. That is Kate Irby, McClatchy's California congressional reporter. Here's the CAP Radio plan over the next few days. We will carry the public hearings this week live on air Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The plan is that they will start at 6 a.m., and NPR analysis will be interspersed throughout the day. There will be, again, that live hour-long recap show each day at 5 p.m. here in the West. Insight will be recorded at its usual time. You won't hear it live because of the public hearings, but we will post it online soon after. And you can hear the episode at 7 p.m. on CAP Radio. If you subscribe to our podcast, you can listen anytime. And you'll hear All Things Considered in its entirety in the afternoon, unless interrupted by public hearings. You can find ongoing news coverage in the region at capradio.org. And of course, our newsroom is standing by to respond to any breaking news. So that's the plan. You can let us know if you have any other questions. And there's more news coming up. This is Insight on CAP Radio.